Before I begin, how about I pray? Yeah, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this time that we can gather here together to hear what you have to say to us. We pray that you would indeed speak to us through this story of Ruth. Amen. Week 12. Can you believe it? It is week 12 of the semester, the final week of classes if you're a calendar A student. Now, week 12, is usually a week with mixed emotions. It's a week with mixed emotions. It's a mix of sadness and happiness. For many students, it's sad because, well, it is week 12 and exams are coming up, which means lots and lots of things to study, lots and lots of things to catch up on. But it also means, well, holidays are coming very soon, isn't it? Holidays are coming. Yay! And there's lots of fun things to do in the holidays. As you know, there's focus camp. Woo! A little bit of advertising on the side. Week 12 is also sad because it means that you have to say goodbye to some of your friends, especially those who are graduating. Actually, anyone graduating here after the semester? Okay, Matt. All right, okay. Matt, we're going to miss you. Sean? Yeah, Sean as well. Yeah, we're going to miss you, Sean. But it's also a time to be happy as well, right? It's also because it's a time to celebrate because you guys are graduating. You finally get to receive a piece of paper that proves that you are actually smart. And if you're an overseas student, your parents will be even more happy because they'll get to see you again. No longer do they have to kiss you on a computer screen. Well, Sean. Probably not. Happiness is also the reason why many of your parents have sent you to Sydney to come and study. They want you to have a good education and to find a good job and ultimately for you to live a happy life. Now, for some people, happiness is not much about finding a good job, but rather finding a good husband or a good wife. And that's why we see, you know, on TV, there's a lot of TV shows that's about finding, you know, a husband or a wife to make the dream come true. For instance, in Australia, we have all the TV shows like The Bachelor. Apparently, it's an American show, but they made it Australian. In Australia, we also have this show called A Farmer Wants a Wife. I think this is uniquely Australian. But you know what my favourite is? My favourite is this TV show on SBS called The One. Okay, that's my favourite, and it's my favourite because it is my favourite show because people there are so honest, right? They're so honest. Like this lady goes, yeah, he's tall and thin. I think he looks like a giraffe. And you really feel sorry for some of the guys there. Like, you know, some of the guys are there, just, they just want a girlfriend. You know, some of them just have very, very low standards as well, such as this guy. My ideal girl is a female who is interested in low standards. And, so as you can see, there are many shows on television where we see people trying to seek happiness by trying to find the perfect husband or the perfect wife. But sadly, happiness in romantic relationships often bring disappointment. You know, very often relationships do break down. Marriages often break down. You know, in Australia, you know, 1 in 3 marriages apparently end in divorce. And in some countries, that number is probably closer to 50%. So if that's the case, where can we find true happiness? Where can we find true happiness? Happiness that lasts. Well, the story that we are reading tonight from the book of Ruth in the Bible can give us that answer to that question. Where can we find true happiness? Well, in today's story, we read that Naomi wanted her daughter-in-law, Ruth, to find happiness, to find a husband, essentially, so she can be remarried. Now, if you were not here at Public Talks in the last 2 weeks, don't worry, let me give you a little bit of summary of what happened so far in the story. In the first week, we were introduced to some of the characters in the story. There's a woman called Naomi. And she had a husband and also two sons. But because there was not enough food to eat in the land of Israel, where they were living, the whole family had to move to another country, to a country called Moab. Where they, lived there for about 10 years, and where both of the sons got married to the women there. Okay? But there was bad news. And the bad news was that Naomi's husband died very soon after moving to Moab. Naomi's husband died. And within those 10 years, both of her sons died as well, like cross-eyed, died. Which is very sad, which leaves, really, Naomi with her daughters-in-law in the foreign land of Moab. But there was a little bit of good news, and the good news was there's food back in Israel again. And so afterwards, Naomi decided to return to Israel, but only one of her daughters-in-law followed her. Her name was Ruth, and so this is pretty much chapter one of the story. Now, in chapter 2, what we covered last week, another character appears onto the scene. His name was Boaz, a wealthy man with a lot of fields, with a lot of servants, but he was also a godly man as well. He loved God and obeyed his commands. And we read in chapter 2 that just as Ruth was about, out and about looking for food to eat, she found herself in Boaz's field, and Boaz saw her and was compassionate towards her, and he gave her a lot of food to eat and also to take home. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us whether at that moment Ruth fell in love with Boaz. Now, we don't know, but common wisdom tells us that to win a woman's heart, you need to feed her stomach, right? The stomach is usually the pathway to a woman's heart. So all the men in this audience, all right, okay, take note, all right, it's good advice. But on a serious note, it's only until the very end of chapter 2 that we learn that this guy, Boaz, surprise, surprise, was actually a relative of Naomi's dead husband. And this is actually a very, very important part of the story, and I'll explain why in a minute. But before then, let's jump into the story. Okay, starting in chapter 3. Okay, let's take a look. So it'd be great if you can open up your zines to which page? Page 9. Okay, thanks for that.
7.
All right. Conflicting numbers. That's fine. Okay, 7. Ruth chapter 3 verse 1 says this. Okay, one day Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, I must find a home for you, where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose woman you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on perfume, get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know that you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he's lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." Now, what's happening here in the story? Okay, what's happening here? Well, we read that one day Naomi tells Ruth to go after him because this man is actually a relative. That means he's a potential husband. That was the custom back then. Now, you can understand, you can't understand why Naomi would say this to Ruth. Ruth was still a young widow. She was still a young widow, still young enough to easily get married again and perhaps even have lots of children. And so ultimately, I think Naomi wants Ruth to find happiness by finding a new man, by finding a permanent home. But this is where it actually begins to be a little bit dodgy, okay? A little bit questionable. Naomi tells Ruth to go to Boaz at nighttime, where he was threshing, at the threshing floor, She has to wash herself and to put on perfume. And not only that, she has to put on an outer garment. Now, here in your English translations, it says, get dressed in your best clothes. But in the original language, it simply refers to to an outer garment. Now, back in those days, sometimes people, especially those who are poor, the people who don't have money, would use their outer garment as their blanket when they slept. So maybe Naomi had in mind that Ruth is going to be sleeping there for the night. But Ruth needs to be really, really quiet, right? Shh, don't let him know. Don't let him know that you're there until he's eaten enough and had enough to drink. And after that, and after he's gone to sleep, only after that, uncover his feet and lie down at his feet. Now, what do you think of Naomi's plan? Okay, what do you think of Naomi's plan? Now, I will give you 1 minute, okay, to talk to the person next to you. What do you think of Naomi's plan to help Ruth find a husband? Okay, talk to the person next to you or on your tables. I'll give you a minute. What do you think of Naomi's plan? Okay, 1 minute is up. Okay, so... Okay, what does everyone think? Okay, that table over there, what did you guys say? Shh, everyone, what do you guys say down there? What do you think of Naomi's plan?
It's a bit scandalous.
It's a bit scandalous, a little bit dodgy, a little bit, questionable. What about this guy, these guys over there?
Sounds like she's trying to seduce him.
Seduce him, yeah, yeah. Okay, so, well... I have a friend, his name's Peter, okay, very, very smart guy, he's actually a medical doctor, he actually has a PhD as well. He's living in Malaysia now, where he's teaching Old Testament at a Bible college, super smart guy, and Peter actually has his PhD in the Book of Ruth. And so, 2 weeks ago, I emailed him, okay, emailed Peter, and I asked him, Peter, do you think Naomi is being a little bit dodgy here, a little bit scandalous? And Peter was very kind, and he replied me in the email, and he said, well, the book doesn't give us too much information, so we can't be sure, but I agree with you that she does seem a little bit dodgy here, because it was nighttime, and Boaz just had a meal, and maybe some wine, and he was tired, so he was in a very, very vulnerable position, with a lot of room for sexual temptation. And so if Boaz sleeps with Ruth and gets her pregnant, then he would have to marry her. And that's probably part of Naomi's plan. Okay, it's probably part of Naomi's plan. She wanted Ruth to have a husband and to find happiness, which is a good thing. But her method was quite simply wrong. But for some people, it doesn't really matter. Now, many years ago, I have a friend who helped people do their uni assignments for a fee. So students pay him money, mainly international students. They pay him money to do their assignments for them. Now, I only knew this because he also asked me whether I was interested to help students do their assignments to make some extra money. And I said no, because it's just simply wrong. It's just not right. Now, I can understand, right? I can understand that it can be so tempting for students. Earning a degree is... Earning a uni degree is so hard, right? So it can be so hard, especially for international students. And sometimes it can be so tempting to take shortcuts, to copy someone else's assignment, or maybe even to pay somebody to do your assignment. But that, my friends, is not... the way to find true happiness. Because deep inside your heart, you always have that feeling of guilt and shame. And so I think at this point in the story, Ruth was being tempted to obey everything that Naomi had said. In fact, that evening, she did go to Boaz. She did go to Boaz. And after he ate and went to bed, she uncovered his feet and lay there at his feet. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm in bed and my feet are cold, I always wake up, right? I don't like my having cold feet. And that's exactly what happened to Boaz. Okay, take a look at verses 8 and 9. It says, "In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. 'Ah! Who are you?' he asked. 'I am your servant Ruth,' she said." Now, as you can imagine, when Boaz woke up, he was shocked to see that somebody was there in the room with him. But all of a sudden, a woman's voice spoke. She said, "I am your servant Ruth." Now, Ruth could have just stopped there, okay? Ruth could have just stopped speaking at that point. She could have just said, "I'm your servant Ruth," and then stopped. Because remember, you know, Naomi said, "Wait for instructions, let him talk." But Ruth doesn't wait for instructions, but rather she makes a request. In verse 9, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family." Now, I want you to notice that there is a double meaning to these words. There are two meanings. The first meaning is, "I'm freezing cold, just like you. Give me some of your blanket, please." Oh, sorry. But the other meaning is, "Please marry me. Please marry me." Now, in the original language, this is what she literally says. "Spread your wing over me. Spread your wing over me. Put me under your wing." Now, it's interesting how in chapter 2, Boaz says to Ruth, "May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings," same word, "you have come to take refuge." Now, in chapter 3, Ruth is saying, "I want you, Boaz, to put me under your wing." In other words, "May God give me refuge through you. It's great that you can pray for me, Boaz, but can you be the answer to your own prayer? Can you be my husband?" And the reason is because you are a guardian redeemer of our family. Now, let me explain what guardian redeemer means, okay? Now, back then, because the custom was that if the man owns a piece of land, and this man dies, okay, cross-eyed, and he dies without children to pass down the land to, the wife of the dead man can actually sell this piece of land to the next closest relative. In other words, they redeem this piece of land. However, if they decide not to redeem this piece of land, for whatever reason, maybe they don't have enough money, the next closest relative has the opportunity to redeem it for themselves. Now, are you guys following me so far? So these people, these close relatives, are called guardian redeemers. These are called guardian redeemers. Now, it gets a little bit more complicated when wives are involved. If the dead man has a wife, because if the wife is still young and still can have children, it is expected that the guardian redeemer also marries the wife. Okay, there's a wife involved. They're also expected to marry the wife. So here in chapter 3, when Ruth says to Boaz, "Spread your wing over me," what she means is, "Please redeem this piece of land so that I can also be your wife." Now what Ruth is doing here is actually the right thing. Now, she could have taken the shortcut. She could have taken the shortcut and sexually seduced Boaz and forced him to marry her. But no, she didn't. Okay, she does the right thing and simply asks Boaz to consider marrying her. So that's why Boaz praises Ruth here in verse 10. Take a look at verse 10. "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you've showed earlier. You have not run after younger men, whether rich or poor." However, there was a tiny little problem. Okay, there was a little bit of a problem. The problem was that above Boaz, okay, this is Boaz, that's Ruth, above Boaz, there's another guy, a much closer relative, a much closer guardian redeemer, who is the first choice to redeem the land, to marry Ruth. And so for the rest of chapter 3, Boaz basically says to Ruth, hey Ruth, there's actually another guy. There's actually another guy that is closer than I as a relative. Let me go and talk to him. Okay, let me go and talk to him first. And if he doesn't redeem you, I will. Okay, so that's the end of chapter 3. And so the very next morning, early in the morning, Boaz sends Ruth back to her mother-in-law with a lot of food as well, because women like food. And Boaz, in chapter 4, he then goes and talks to that other guy. Now, just to cut the long story short, because we don't have a lot of time, the other guy says, no, I don't want the land if Ruth is also included. So Boaz goes, okay, I'll go and buy the land, and I'll marry her. So that's what happened in chapter 4. And the book ends with a happy ending. Boaz marries Ruth, and they have a baby named Obed. And the name Obed means servant, okay? And this is actually a good name, because both his parents are servants. Let me explain. Well, throughout this book, Ruth has been serving Naomi, hasn't she? Ruth has been serving Naomi. She left her own country, Moab, and followed Naomi all the way back to Israel to keep serving her mother-in-law. In fact, Ruth is so dedicated to her mother-in-law that some people even say that having Ruth is better than having 7 sons. But not only that, in the story, Boaz also served Ruth. Boaz served Ruth by being compassionate on her, giving her food, redeeming her, and taking away her shame. And so the name Obed is actually a very fitting one, because both his parents are marked by humble service. And also, once Obed gets older, he would also be expected to serve his mother-in-law, to his grandmother, rather, Naomi, to give her joy in her old age. And so that's how the story really ends. Okay, the story ends with Naomi, the woman with shattered dreams, no longer being bitter. But she is now restored, and now she's pleasant again. That's what the name Naomi means. Now that we've reached the end of the story, what are two things that we can take home? From this talk? Well, at the start of today's talk, I asked the question, where do we find true happiness? Okay, so point number one is this. True happiness is found when you love God and love your neighbor. True happiness is found when you love God and love your neighbor. Now, let me explain what I mean. Now, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned how in the Old Testament, there's another book called the Book of Judges. And this Book of Judges is a very sad and depressing book to read, because the story takes place in a time when Israel had no king. Israel had no king, but they also rejected God as their king. They hated God. Now, what's interesting is the story in the Book of Ruth also takes place in the period of the Judges. But this book is wonderful to read. Why? Because this book paints us a picture, a beautiful picture of what it looks like when people love God and obey Him. Boaz didn't give in to sexual temptation. And I think the reason is because he loves God. And not only that, this book also paints us a picture of what it looks like when people love their neighbor and serve each other. It's a story of a foreigner being welcomed into the family of Israel. A story of a widow being shown compassion. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, it means that if you really want to have lasting and true happiness, you need to love God and to also love your neighbor. Now, for me personally, when I reflect upon my own life, I think the happiest times in my life were not when I went on a holiday or when I got a new mobile phone or when I got a new job. Now, all these things are good, but for me, I think the happiest times in my life have been when I help people, when I give money to friends who are in need, when I get the opportunity to tell people about Jesus, especially those who have never heard of Jesus before. And so for me, you know, working for Credo, it's a dream come true. I get paid for telling people about Jesus. How remarkable is that? So today, if you in this audience are not yet a Christian, if you're not a Christian yet, and you've never known what it feels like to love God, then let me invite you to become a Christian so that you can experience firsthand for yourself what it's like to really know the joy of when it comes to knowing and serving God. Point number two, true happiness is a gift from God. True happiness is a gift from God. Now, there's a famous verse in the Bible. It goes something like this. We love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved us. And that's the story in the book of Ruth is a great example of that. God loved his people so much that he decided to give them a king. Okay, take a look at the very end of the story of Ruth. Okay, at the very end of the story of Ruth in chapter 4, from verse 18, you see a little family tree. And if you take a look at the end of the family tree, you read this. Salmon, I don't know how you pronounce it, the father of Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of David. Okay, so this is what we see. Okay, so essentially, two generations after Obed, later comes the great King David. Possibly the best king that Israel ever had in the Old Testament. The king who saved Israel many times and brought peace and stability in the land. And here's the good news. Okay, here's the good news. The good news is God also loves the world so much. He loves the world so much that he would even give his one and only son, Jesus. Now, did you know that in Jesus' family tree on earth, he's actually part of this family tree? In the New Testament, in Luke chapter 3, you will discover that Jesus is actually on the same family tree 41 generations after David. And now, Jesus is very much like his ancestors, Ruth and Boaz. Just like Ruth, he came from far away. Jesus also came from far away, far, far away. Ruth came from Moab. Jesus came from heaven. In fact, he came to earth as a human being, as a servant, in fact. And so Jesus is like Ruth, but much greater. And Jesus is also like Boaz. Boaz redeemed Ruth and saved her. And in a similar way, Jesus came to save us, to redeem us, to save us from our sin and to bring us back to God. And so Jesus is like Boaz, but much greater. Now, let me read this passage from Mark chapter 10, and I'll finish. Jesus says, "Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man," and that is Jesus, "even Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So Jesus is the much greater Obed. And that, my friends, is the gift of God. That is the gift of God. The gift of redemption through Jesus. The gift of freedom and eternal life. Something that would give us eternal life, that would give us happiness for all of eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. He who came from far away, from heaven, came to earth not to be served, but to serve, to give up his life as a ransom for many. We thank you so much for this truth. And we also thank you for the book of Ruth, the wisdom that it gives us, and the beautiful picture that it shows us of what it looks like when people love God and love the people around them. So Lord, please help us to embody that. Please help us to live that out. For those of us here who are not yet believers in Jesus, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you help them to make that decision to trust in Jesus. And we pray all these things in his name. Amen.
All right, thank you. All right, Andy. It's a good way to end our public talk. And before we end, can I invite Louisa to come up? Okay. Do you guys know him?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. Tell us about you. What do you do at Credo?
Yep. So I am doing a ministry internship. So I'm exploring what it's like to work in ministry. And my main focus here at Credo is looking after students in the health faculty. So that's students studying nursing, midwifery, and sports and exercise science.
Wow. What is this apprentice program? Can you share a little bit?
Yeah. So it's a 2-year traineeship.
Yeah.
So I worked full-time as a registered nurse and then wanted to explore where God might be gifting me and where he might be calling me in the future. So I thought I would do an apprenticeship to get lots of different opportunities in trying different things in ministry and learning lots about God. We do training on a Monday morning with the Sydney Uni apprentices, which is really awesome. So, lots of learning and lots of, exploring different opportunities, which is cool.
So just like what Andy has said, it's one way of seeking happiness by serving at a university campus. You know? So if you are interested or to explore any of this, like talk to me or Helen or even Louisa and ask her to share about her experience there a little bit more during the pizza time. But we want to thank the team led by Louisa. Can you please stand up? They're
getting pizza.
Oh, they're getting pizza. Okay. When they come back, there will be Hui Chin, Tiana, and Larry. Okay. So these are the team that they set up week after week, preparing, getting preparation. You know, just before and pray for everyone as you put your talk back, your prayer request. So we just want to give the team when they come back, but now we give Louisa on behalf of the team. Thank you. Okay, next, we want to invite two very special persons to come up to pray for us. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So we're gonna do. We're gonna introduce first.
Yep.
Yeah, Bruce.
Hey, I'm Matthew. I'm a 7th-year civil engineering student, and this is my last semester with you guys. I'm sorry. It's also emotional.
Guys, my name is Sean, and it's also my last semester. I'm doing an accounting degree, so Sean asked me to cry, so I'm so sad, so emotional. I should cry.
Of course.
Yeah, so we're going to pray. I'm new, come from China, so I'm going to pray in English. I'm going to pray in Mandarin, and Matt will pray in
English.
Australian.
English.
All right, let's pray. 亲爱的天父上帝，我们满心的感谢你，感谢你一起能够聚集我们。 众弟兄姐妹一起能够来到你的这边，能够一起能够来学习你的话语，一起能够来领受你的恩典。主，我们真的满心的感谢你，让我们有这样的机会，有这样的特权，能够在 UTS 能够听到你的福音，能够跟别人传扬你的消息。主，我们真的满心感谢你。主，我们感谢这一学期。 感谢你这一学期让我们的 public talk 都这么顺利，让我们一切的assignment 一切的学习都能够顺利。主，我们也将我们接下来的一切的作业、期末考试都交在主您的圣手当中，求主您能来保守看顾，赐我们学生智慧能力力量，让我们去完成我们的学业。主，我们也为我们 Credo 在2012年的目标来祷告。 求主能够让我们能够有800人在我们的 small group 里面，让我们有一半的人能够跟愿意跟他们的同学能够进行 one to one Bible reading。谢谢主，让我们small group 都能够办的这样的成功，让我们每个人都能够在当中能够参与，能够来学习你的话语。主，我们也为着我们这世界上所经历的患难来祷告。主，真的最近真的是有很多恐怖的袭击在世界各地。主啊，真的求你能够来保守看顾那些受伤的人以及他们的家人朋友。主啊，真的求你安慰他们的心。主，你真的帮助他们，让他们能够从你里面得到安慰，得到鼓励。主啊，求你能够在这世界能够施行公义审判。主啊，真的我们将这一切都交在主你的圣手当中。我们这样简短不配的祷告是奉主耶稣的名求。
Amen. Dear Lord, thank you that we can all be here. Thank you that we're able to hold public talks here freely at UTS. And thank you that we've managed to get to the end of semester. Thank you that you've sustained us throughout all of our studies and works that we've been doing throughout this semester. And I just pray that you grant us energy and focus as we seek to get our final assignments and exams done here at UTS. And that we may be able to glorify you just in having a good work ethic and people seeing that we are studying, taking our studies well. I pray for just our long-term goals as Credo, just looking forward that in 2020 hope to have 800 students in small groups and hopefully half of them doing one-to-one Bible reading. I thank you for everyone that has been contributing to helping to lead or prepare or equip our small groups in being able to lead them in doing the Gospel of Mark, in learning the sort of great king that you are, not the sort of king that we expect, but the king that we need, the sacrificial king who saved our lives and our souls. I pray, Lord, that we continue to share this message with all the people here at UTS, and they may be able to equip us further for preaching the gospel to everyone that we meet in our lives. I pray, Lord, looking to the wider world with the amount of horrors and evils that's happening with all these attacks in major cities around the world and just how much more frequently it seems to be happening. I pray that you will be at work in the lives of the authorities and being able to help deliver justice to these people, but also that you're able to change these perpetrators' lives and understanding that you are out there, you are real, you are a great God and a loving God and a good God, and that may be able to move their hearts to stop seeking to create violence and terror, but rather be able to be moved by your Spirit to live the way that all men are called to live. Amen.
Amen.
So, this comes to the end of the public talk, so I hope to see you next semester. Before that, can you please fill out the forms? Just give some comments or prayer requests. Thank you very much. And we shall have our pizza delivered here soon. We'll be eating it, yeah. Pizza. 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 Italiano.
Pizza.
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 All right. Feel free to discuss the questions here.
Pizza.
The outlines.
Pizza.
The chat over the pizza.
I'm still waiting for you.
Yeah.